Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. So the main point of that section is very clear. We are to give for heavenly reward, not earthly reward. That's the point. Jesus' great concern isn't that we give more money, or that we give more sacrificially, or that we give more frequently, but that we give more expectantly. That's the issue. Or in the words of 2 Corinthians 9, more cheerfully. If I put money in the plate with a reluctant, grudging attitude, or a prideful, look at me attitude, that makes God look like some penny-pinching, low-budget father who's so hard up that he makes his children pay him an allowance. That doesn't glorify him. If all you do is increase the amount that you give, then you're going to do more harm than good if it's done grudgingly or if it's done reluctantly with an attitude that doesn't show God to be wealthy and generous. If you give and then worry about whether you have enough money to get by, or if you give and in your heart that gift feels to you like a loss, that kind of giving does more harm than good. And increasing the amount you give just increases the harm. The goal is to give cheerfully, more and more cheerfully, with more and more of an attitude of being elated because of the reward that's connected to the giving. Now, is that going to have an impact on how much you give? Sure it will. Sure, it will. If I'm truly excited about the reward that comes from giving, then I'm going to want to give as much as I can because I'm going to want as much reward as possible. So yes, this will have an impact on how much you give. And if this is hard on your ears, this giving to get attitude, you need to listen to last week's sermon to understand. Because there's a bad way to do that and a good way to do that. And I don't have time this morning to go through all that again. But I'm just talking about the good way this morning, not the bad way. So yeah, it will affect, giving with joy will affect the amount that you give. You've heard the phrase, it's the thought that counts. Is that true? It's the thought that counts, right? Well, it's true. It is the thought that counts, but the thought only counts if it's a valid thought, valid enough that you act on it. If you don't act on it, then it wasn't much of a thought, was it? And I want to show you that from God's Word. Turn to 2 Corinthians 8. The Corinthians had all kinds of wonderful goals and aspirations about how much they were going to give to help the poor, their poor brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And they were willing and they were eager and they talked a lot about how eager they were. And Paul commends them, praises them for their eagerness, but then he urges them to go ahead and follow through on that eagerness. 2 Corinthians 8:11. Look at verse 11. He says, "Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means." So it's the eager willingness or the cheerfulness that counts. It is the thought that counts, but it only counts if it compels you to follow through and actually give. Now, here's the really amazing part. Notice the end of the verse, that according to your means. Now, that's amazing. He says, according to your means. You need to follow through on your desire to give, but only within your means. Which means our giving should always be a percentage, not a fixed amount. I don't know if you understand that, but whenever you give, what you put in the offering box, all you're giving, it should be a percentage, not a fixed amount. Don't think in terms of, I'm going to give $10 or $100 or $1,000 or whatever. Think, I'm going to give 1% or 10% or 20%. Always figure the percentage, because it needs to be connected to your means. Our regular giving should be some percentage of our income. You say, what percentage? Well, that is almost incidental to God. The amount is incidental. You figure it in terms of a percentage of your income, and then you just give it with joy. And that's what matters, is the amount of joy that you have when you give. The amazing thing, when I said this is so amazing, what's so amazing here is the fact that if you follow through on your eager willingness to give, even though you only give according to your means, your gift, according to verse 12, is acceptable to God according to your desire. Look at verse 12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So if you don't give at all, then God won't reward you at all. But if you give as much as you can, God will reward you, not for the amount that you gave, but for the amount that you wanted to give, that you wish you could give. That's what's amazing. So if you really wish you could give $1 million, but all you can afford is $1, if you go ahead and give that $1, God will reward you for the million that you wish you could give. If you don't even give the one, though, then he won't reward you at all, because obviously your willingness and eagerness aren't really eagerness and willingness. But if the willingness is there, and you prove that by giving what you can, God rewards you not on the amount that you gave, but on the amount that you wish you could give if you had it, the amount that you would be willing to give if you had it. So do you have to give away everything you have? No. No. Some people have seen Jesus commanded the rich young ruler to sell all his possessions, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And so that's a model for all believers. It's not. That was a test for one individual man. It's not a law for all believers. We know that because in 2 Corinthians 8:11 here, Paul commands that we give, each give according to our means. So God doesn't want you to give beyond your means. He does want you to have a compelling willingness, though, a cheerful heart, a joyful, expectant heart. If all we have is the eager willingness that isn't matched by the actual giving, the completion of the act, that's not enough. Genuine love will drive us to want to give. You see a poor person, you want to find a way to help that person. Compassion drives you to want to help, and you'll find a way to do it. So having the desire without the action isn't enough, but neither is the action without the desire. Just giving without a heart of mercy and love and joy is not what God is calling for. In fact, the word Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount, translated give to the needy here in Matthew 6, 2, if you go back to Matthew 6, that word give to the needy, it's just one word in the Greek. It just comes from the root word mercy. It's an act of mercy. When Jesus says give to the needy, in the Greek it sounds like he's saying, when you do your mercying, do it this way. So giving is connected to mercy. It's not fundamentally an issue of shelling out cash. It's fundamentally an issue of compassion for the needy and desire for whatever it is that money is going to go to accomplish in the kingdom of God that drives you to find a way to give something. Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he's done. Lord, forgive us for our giving with a grudging heart. Forgive us for the last time we cleaned up somebody else's mess, did that ministry, gave with a grumbling heart. When we grumbled about going to work or about having to deal with some relative or whatever you called us to do, homework. Oh Lord, forgive us for serving you in a way that makes you look like a stingy, hard-up father who's needy. Oh Lord, fill us with such joy in the promises of your reward that we just can't wait to serve. We can't wait to pour ourselves out, no matter what it costs us, even if it costs us our lives. We do it with smiles and joy because of your generous reward. And because we're so confident in your goodness. Oh Lord, let us be a church that doesn't just work hard. Let us be a church that our joy drives us to work. Let us not just give a lot of money in the offering. Let us not just provide meals for someone who's sick, go to visit them in the hospital. Lord, let us always be a people whose joy drives us to do those things, so that when we do them, it honors you and not us.
Make an audit of how much you give financially. Divide that number by how much you make. That's the percentage of your giving. I think you can make a strong biblical argument that the starting place should be 10%. And you may agree or disagree, but even if you don't agree with that, Think through what percentage you think would be the most honoring to God. If there's a better number than 10%, great. But if your number ends up being 1 or 2% or less, give some careful thought to whether you arrived at that because you think it fulfills the biblical principles of honoring God with your money, or if it's because you love money and don't want to part with it, or you're afraid God won't take care of you. If you really were a cheerful giver, what do you think that percentage would be for you?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.